Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When you walked into the room, there was voodoo in the vibes.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is T. Morant. He's the father of Murray State point guard John Morant, who will learn his fate on Thursday at the NBA draft. He joins us now. T, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time.
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm good.
Man, everything is good. So how has this process been for you all?
Oh, man, it's been surreal. You know, I'm just waiting for somebody to pinch me, slap me or something to wake me up out of this dream.
Every interview I've seen you done, you're so cool all the time, T. I mean, are you that way leading up to this? Is a little bit of butterflies leading into it?
It's a combination of both.
Okay.
But, you know, I try to stay as even keel as possible for myself and for Ja.
Did you teach Ja that? He's the same way. I've noticed that. Is that something you handed down to him? Is it something he's taken on naturally? What do you think about that?
I think it's more natural than anything. You know, pretty much being himself, and I mean, I don't think you can go wrong when you're doing that. And his humility is what helps him stay grounded.
Yeah,
absolutely.
As it relates to Ja, what do you think he brings to an NBA franchise?
Wow, I think whoever selects Ja is going to see that they got a hard worker. Team first player, and another thing, they'll see somebody who's ready, eager to work in the community, especially with the kids. You know, so I mean, it's gonna be interesting and fun at the same time to see who gets him and to show how he impacts everything about the organization.
You touched on some of this, but when his game. What part of it makes you the most proud? When you're watching him, what gives you the most pride in terms of part of his game that you like watching the most, that you can't help but smiling about?
I like his pass-first mentality.
Yes, sir.
And his basketball IQ, to me, is off the chart, you know, as far as his ability to, you know, dissect defenses physically and mentally and to read his teammates, get them the ball in the right position so they can excel. You know, so, I mean, I'll have to go with IQ. His IQ, his basketball IQ is what's more impressive to me.
How much
you know, but I like the pure joy that he has out there when his teammates are being successful and they're, you know, competing at a high level.
You can see it on him, and he wears it.
Yeah.
When other guys are doing well, he's celebrating as much as he does when he gets a basket. How much of that, Dad, is God-given? How much of it's the training that you've had him in coming up? In terms of that, being able to dissect everything, telling a coach, man, here's what we're going to do. How much of that is God-given? How much of that is you?
I think I would probably say is first off, the most important thing is his God-given talent.
Yes,
you know, and as a young kid, you know, we always did film study, you know, especially with his game. I don't care if he had 35 or whatever. We would go back to the house and pop the video in and look at what he did wrong. And I think him being able to accept the constructive criticism as far as his wrongdoing gave him a better understanding to try to correct that, which in turn, I think, helped his IQ out a lot.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
We are,
gotcha.
Of course, talking to T. Morant. He is the father of Murray State point guard Ja Morant, NBA draft taking place on Thursday. At Murray State, he clearly carried the team. Averaged 10 assists a game, averaged 24 points a game. He made the team and his teammates so much better. Has he always been that way, motivated, not just by obviously getting his own, but making his teammates better? Has that just been him, you know, his whole basketball career?
It's crazy because when Ja was like 7 or 8, playing in church leagues and, you know, starting up with AAU. Ja was always a step ahead, so he would be making passes, but the players wasn't ready for him. So, like, at every level, I'll be like, man, I can't wait to next year when he's playing against, you know. And then it went from that to middle school. Okay, yeah, they're gonna finish in middle school. Then it's, okay, I can't wait to get to high school. He's going to finish in high school at Murray State. You know, it's the same thing, but it was better finishers. So it's exciting to see that, okay, once he gets to this next level, which is the NBA, you know, you got professional finishers, you know. But he was always the one that was, you know, trying to get his teammates involved, yeah. You know. And I mean, and the thing I like the most about him, he's the type that he does it. He trusts his teammates with everything he got. But then once to get to a crucial period, that's when he'll be like, okay, let me score some. And, you know, he can turn it on like that.
Obviously, Ja has visited with the Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm sure that when you're sort of going through this process, you evaluate every team situation, how Ja fits into each, the roster. How do you see a potential fit with the Memphis Grizzlies if that is indeed where Ja ends up?
Thinking about it, I really think that I guess the visit with Memphis and hearing their overall dynamic as far as where they're trying to go with a young, speedy talent, I think he would be, I mean, he would fit in great with them, you know, with Jaren Jackson and the rest of the people on the roster, as far as getting up and down the floor, you know, understanding and growing as a young organization to try to turn it around. I like the idea, but like I said, we'll see June 20th.
That's what I had to wonder, Dad, is like, you know, Memphis obviously puts a new coach in place named Taylor Jenkins, and obviously his first job, right, is getting to know y'all, getting to know, you know, at least or the potential guys that he could take, and one of them certainly is your son. I just wonder, as a father, how much do you put that stuff off till Thursday, right? The getting to know the roster, the getting to know the who coach is doing all, do you put that off until you find out and then you dive in, or do you dive in beforehand?
Yes, I think it's more putting it off.
Yeah.
You know, of course, peeking at everything,
sure.
But not studying it till it becomes stressful or whatever.
Yes, sir.
You know, peeking at everything, looking at the pieces in place, and then going from there. But it's not my job to dissect the roster. He's going to be the one playing with whoever selects him. So, you know, it's no pressure at all. You know, it's a great thought that he'll finally be able to fulfill his dream as far as making it to the league. But yeah, just like I told him, and everybody going to see, the work don't stop there.
Yes, sir.
He's going to continue to work, and, you know, that's the thing. I'm trying to figure out how to get another chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Dad, we're having on a guest at 12:25 that I think you know, and excuse me if you don't, but Rashad Phillips, who's been on your son for a long, long time in terms of trying to tell the nation that he was the next big thing. Do y'all go back? Do you know that, you know, he's a draft guru. You know who I'm speaking of with Mr. Phillips?
Yeah, I was following a couple of things on Twitter because, you know, I'm not into the social media thing.
Yes, sir.
So Ja finally got me on Twitter. So, you know, I'll be seeing certain things he put on there. But now we wasn't able to communicate or whatever.
Okay.
You know, but it's funny that I sometimes look at, you know, some of the things he predicted and they was, you know, true. You know, so. Yeah. You know, I mean, I respect all basketball minds.
Best game you ever saw your son play, T?
Oh, the best one.
A triple-double versus Marquette wasn't bad.
I want to say the triple-double against Marquette, but then I want to say Alabama. Oh, boy. The best game I saw him play, I don't think nobody else seen him play, and he was probably about maybe about 10
oh.
or 11, and they was playing in a rec game, and he was missing shots. He was missing shots at the beginning of the game, and, of course, he's a competitor by nature. So it got to the point where he was pouting. So I wasn't coaching. It was almost like some five heartbeat stuff. I wasn't coaching the rec team, but the coach who was coaching, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, so I walked over and was like, hey, I got it. So I took Ja out the game, you know, of course, chastising for crying and all that. And after that, I think he probably knocked down like 7 or 8 threes back to back, and then came back and won the game.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, it was crazy. You know, but yeah, collegiate level, I'll say the triple double was the most impressive, especially with all the assists.
Man, yeah.
As far as getting the team involved.
Yeah, and against those guards too, as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was a big time statement. T, do you remember the first time Ja dunked on somebody? Like, were you in the crowd? Like, do you remember the first time he did that?
Dunked on somebody?
Yeah, dunked on somebody. Yeah.
The crazy thing is, ever since Ja was playing basketball, I think I missed like two. I think I missed like two or three of his games total. Not being able to see it. Even at Murray, we was gone. So, to answer your question, the first time he dunked on somebody probably was his senior year in high school.
Gotcha. And then I want to ask you about, because it's such an amazing story how he goes, you know, 2 years ago, he's a relative unknown in the college basketball world, and 2 years later, you know, he is, you know, right now by most mock drafts projected to be the number 2 pick in the draft. What was his college recruitment like? You know, like, was there a ton of interest from schools? Like, take us back to his recruitment process in college. How did it all unfold?
It was rough. Well, it was rough for all of us, especially me and my wife. Because seeing Ja put in the work he put in, and seeing every time he's out on the court, he stands out as one of the best. The college recruitment didn't go as I thought it was supposed to, you know, because everybody was posting on social media, glad I got an offer from this spot, glad I got an offer from this spot. Mm-hmm. And not to be arrogant or anything, but Ja was better than most of these kids. Yeah. You know, so I'm wondering, what are we doing wrong? He's playing in the same circuit, you know, he's putting in the same amount of work, no, if not more, and they were rolling in real slow. So I want to say his last little leg of the tournament, I think he probably got about, I mean, AAU season, he probably got about 11. One tournament, he averaged 40 in the tournament. And he got like 11 offers in like one weekend. Yeah, but it was crazy. So my thing was, he was getting down on himself and asking the question, "What I got to do? What I'm doing wrong?" He questioning himself and all, you know. But then once he stepped foot on Murray, it was like he didn't even care about any other offers because he fell in love with it. And just like I told him from the beginning, you know, don't go with who you want to be with, go with who wants you.
Yes, sir.
You know, so that's the thing. I see a lot of kids failing at. I don't know whether it's guidance or they just trying to get that, go to that big name instead of, you know, go where you're going to excel at to the highest and who believes in you enough to, you know, allow you to be yourself.
You know, the dad, I think a lot of fathers would are curious about your answer to this question, and I am too as one. And I wonder how much of his ascent and this meteoric rise is this. He said that you're his biggest hater in a sense that, kind of like what you touched on, y'all will go and look at his mistakes, right, before you give him all the credit for all the good he's done. Where's that line, Dad, for me, for all the fathers that are out there, right? You want to push your son, and you have to get him to the best that he can be, but you don't want to overdo it. So for you, naturally, what's the advice to us fathers out here who want to push him, but we don't want to push too hard?
Yeah, you got to find a happy medium as far as that. And I can say that our happy medium was my wife, you know,
as far as, you know,
I would push him hard, you know, and – but I knew when to pull back.
Yes, sir.
So it's the relationship you got with your child, for one. But, like, I had a whole lot of cold beds because of that hard push. You know, why are you always trying to embarrass him? Ain't nobody trying to embarrass him. I just want him to work.
Yes,
is how I used to handle it.
Yes, sir.
You know, but, you know, I say you got to build that sense of trust and understanding. And, see, I think he listened to me a lot because he knew I understood the game.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't just making him do crazy stuff just to do it. I was making him do stuff that I feel would help his game out, you know.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, push him to the level where he feel like he's about to break, and I know when to pull back, you know, and give him an attaboy or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But my thing was I hate complacency. And I think a lot of kids sometimes once you get all the credit and hype, you become complacent.
Yes, sir.
And I never wanted him to become complacent, so I never really gave him all the credit that I knew he was looking for. So anytime he'd do something, I was like, "For what? You overrated. You ain't did nothing yet." And I would be saying stuff like that, you know, because I know as he keep on rising,
yes,
as
sir.
Far as levels and all, that he's gonna hear that from crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So before they had a chance to say it, I was saying it all the time.
Got you.
You know, I mean, he would post up on social media, and I share it, but I put overrated, you know.
Wow. You called your own son overrated?
On Twitter.
Yeah, several times.
Yeah. But it's a method to it. That's what you're explaining.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I got you.
So he used to be like okay, it was one tournament I remember AAU. When him and Zion and Devontae Shulido were playing on the same team,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what I considered it his first dunk, but they had a little dunk fest. I think Zion had like three or four dunks. Shula had about two or three. Dude Dakota had about three or four. And Ja had what I considered was a rim grazer. It's like he dunked it, but he didn't dunk it hard. So I called it a hard layup. So we ride in the band back to the hotel, and I was like, fellas, y'all put on a little dunk contest. They were like, I said, y'all had about 11 dunks. So when I started calling out the dunks, I didn't call a job dunk out.
Mm.
So they were like, hold on. What about y'all? Job dunk? I was like, man, that wasn't no dunk. That was a hard layup. And Job was like, that's all he going to do, man. He always going to hate on me. So, you know, it was funny. But, you know, I guess that was my motivational factor, because I could never give him the seal of approval. Yeah.
That is certainly interesting,
man.
For sure. Are y'all already in New York? When do y'all get there?
No, we're already in New York. As a matter of fact, we're at the Tiso watch thing. He's signing autographs.
Okay, y'all are at the Tiso watch thing right now. Dig that. Well, he certainly, you know, we think he's going to be the face of a franchise wherever he goes, for sure. He's got that kind of game to him, no doubt. And, T, we appreciate the time
very
much, man.
Thank you so much for this, T.
I appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. Good luck Thursday, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.